Our scripture lesson today comes from Luke chapter 2, the first 7 verses, of course. As we reach forward to that, you can find Luke in the Bible, in case you didn't know it. Chapter 2 comes right after 1, and I would ask that at the first Sunday of the month, as we come into Christmas, for these 7 verses, are you are able to stand for the reading of the Word of the Lord. Luke chapter 2, the first 7 verses. And in those days, man, I don't think I can do this. I get choked up reading this. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the story that is unfolding before our very eyes. Not a story, the truth, the life, the beginnings. We pray, Father, that these words spoken today will help remind us of who we are, where we come from, and where we have yet to go. We ask that they would strengthen us and take us fully forward, Father. In Jesus' precious name, and all of his children said, Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Okay. So, let's try something new today. Today is what I will call Math Sunday. Let's get ready to do some math. Everybody in here say, Yay! And if you don't like this sermon, the idea for this sermon was inspired by Marvin Swope, and you can yell at him after church. It came from something he said and triggered me. So let's try some math. I know there's a bunch of people in here that's real good at math. Now, if you are traveling in a car that is traveling at just past the speed of sound, and you move to the back of the car, and at the same time the grocer sets out apples for 5 cents a pound, and the truck stops to pick them up, but the train misses the bus stop, at what point would the circumference of the earth be spinning?
The world.
You can't possibly know that answer. What is it?
No, because aliens wear purple hats. That's how absurd the question is.
That's an absurd question?
Yes.
You can ride on the roof going home. Now, seriously, if a car is traveling 1 mile a minute, how fast is that car going?
60 miles an hour.
60 miles an hour. Assuming I'm not driving it. So that's what it is, right? That's the old adage. For every mile you travel for 1 minute, you're traveling 60 miles an hour. So you're doing good on math. You're out, Buck. I'll let somebody else answer the question. If you're traveling in a car that's moving at a mile a minute at 60 miles an hour, how long will it take you to go 120 miles? You hurt my head with that answer, Sarah. What is, Sarah? Yeah, push the button on top. Get her to restart. What is 60 times 2? Anyone?
120.
And how many minutes is that? That's 120 minutes, right? It's a trick joke. How many hours is that?
2 hours.
2 hours. Are you sure? Because you had to look away for a minute, Father.
Come on.
2 hours. 120 miles at 60 miles an hour. Again, assuming that I'm not driving the car, will take you, if you had no other obstructions, red lights, or anything else in the world, if you were able to maintain that speed, it will take you 2 hours to go 120 miles. 120 miles. Again, assuming I'm not driving. On February 21, in the year of our Lord, 2003, I walk in the house, and my wife says, "It's time to go." Now, I'm not a smart man, and I responded to her with, "Go where?" And she looked at me for a moment, and those eyes said, "This is the fool that I married." She said, "It's time to go." I said, "Go where?" She said, "To the hospital, dummy, we're going to have children." And I said, "What?" And I loaded her in the truck. In the truck now. Now, from my house to Frederick Memorial Hospital, it is 12 miles, but it takes, on average, about 25 minutes because there are obstructions along the way. That day, it took us 12 minutes because I knew that the Twin Towers of Terror were coming. When we got in a truck, I turned to her and I said, "You got two choices. You can look down and shut up, or look forward and shut up. But we're going to the hospital." And we went. And I made that truck slip into Mach 1. And we made it to the hospital in 12 minutes. We pulled up there and I got out and I walked in the door and stomped on that thing that opens the doors up and I said, "Baby coming!"
Oh, no. Seriously?
And boy, they turned around and said, What? And they started to pour out of that hospital. Of course, the babies didn't come for much later. If you ever want to hear the other side of that story, my wife at 11 p.m. on the 21st, as the doctor said, "Look, they're not going to come out on their own. We got to take them out through cesarean." My wife said to the doctor, "Can we wait till tomorrow?" And the doctor looked at me and I said, "Man, I ain't got nothing in on this." And he said, "We have to take babies now." She said, "No, Doc, in an hour it'll be tomorrow. Then we'll have two on 22. And he looked at the clock and he went, "Oh, it'd take more than an hour to get ready. We'd be fine."
Oh, my goodness.
But I want to circle back. That's the way we think about things now. We need to go somewhere. We just walk out and we get in the car and we hit the ignition and horsepower roars to life. We drop it down into drive or first gear. And we go. When I owned my tractor trailer, it was nothing for me to travel close to 1,000 miles in a week. We don't think about that. I heard a funny one yesterday. See if you can follow along. It says, 100 years ago, everyone had a horse and a buggy, and only the rich had cars. Nowadays, everyone has a car, and only the rich have horses. My, how the stables have turned. You're going to stick with that one for a while. But that's where we start. Who in this room seriously thinks about where you're going to journey when you get in the car? You're going to go to Lancaster? You're going to go to Lancaster. You've already thought it out in your head. I'm going to Lancaster. I'm going to spend all my husband's money at the outlet stores. And then we're going over to the Green Dragon and I'll finish up the rest of the bank account. If you're me, when you get in the truck, your mind's already made up. I'm either going to the shop, I'm going to the auction, or I'm going to work. If I have to get in that truck to do anything else, I fuss a little bit because I don't want to drive to those places. But we just get in a vehicle and we drive off. And we don't think about it. The distance from my house to this church is 22 miles. 22 miles. Is that a big deal? Say no.
No.
22 miles? That's a jump, right? There's nothing to it. We got up this morning. We have it down to a science now. At 8:30 a.m., the truck has to leave the driveway in order for us to be here at 9:05. And that's allowing for the lights and the people who break my rule of driving in front of me. And if we're not at that house at 8:30, well, it's not a fun ride to church because I start getting fussy. I have to go. I have to be on time. But I just think about it as getting in the vehicle and getting going on. And so today, here's where I want us to start from. I want us to cast aside all that stuff. I want you to put your car keys off to the side. And I want you to start remembering what actually takes place leading up to the birth of Jesus Christ. For a few moments, we need to understand who Jesus is and where He came from. Arthur Owen Blessed, and I'll bet you know that name right out of the gate. Arthur Owen Blessed, born in 1940 in Greenville, Mississippi, is a traveling preacher. And by traveling, you better know his story. He has carried a cross, what he fashioned himself, in every nation of the world. Carried it along. Drugged the cross along. Walking. Now, if anybody would know anything about walking and getting somewheres, I would imagine it would be Arthur Blessed. And so I borrow a few words from him, and I want you to hear these words as we start to contemplate the journey of 120. He said, "The mileage from Jerusalem to Nazareth and Capernaum and vice versa is about 120 miles. The most direct route would be 90 miles. I'm going to say them numbers again. 120 miles, and we've already determined if we're traveling at 60 miles an hour, we can make that trip in how many hours? You know, when I ask you all a question, I expect to hear an answer. How many hours is it going to take at 60 miles an hour to go 120 miles?
Two.
There we go. Is that so hard? I'm going to take all your gold stars off the board before this day is out. But the direct route, he says, is 90 miles an hour, but that would have been through Samaria. And this was an area between Jerusalem and Galilee to the north. The Jews as a whole hated the Samaritans. And the Samaritans hated the Jews. Travel through Samaria was to be avoided because of the mountainous conditions and the racial hatred. What? You mean to tell me that there was racial hatred some 2,000 years ago? Well, I would never have heard of that, Pastor Paul. Deal with it. The travel route was from Jerusalem down to the Jordan Valley, the Jericho Road, then across, I'm going to read this to you, listen carefully, then across the Jordan River into the area now known as Pierra, part of present-day Jordan, and once a part of Israel, with 2.5 tribes of Israel living there. One would then go up, would go north on the east side of the River Jordan, up into Decapolis, still on the east side of the River Jordan. Just below the Sea of Galilee, the route crossed back over the River Jordan and then split. One route went northwest to Nazareth, the other passing along the west side of the Sea of Galilee, past Tiberias and through Magdala to Capernaum. Both routes, the same mileage. Who in this room hears that Joseph took Mary, his wife-to-be, who was pregnant, home to check in for the census? Who hears just those words? Say amen. Put your hands up. Who in the world ever thinks about it? Somewhere in our mind, we have dialed it down. You see where this is coming from now, Marvin? From the question you asked last Sunday. Be careful what you say to me. You're liable to find yourself at a center point. We have dialed it down or diluted the trip that they took down to mere minutes. We look over there and we see a donkey laying down, and we see Joseph, and we see Mary, and we see baby Jesus. And we think, hey, Romans sent out the decree. Joseph put her on the donkey. They traveled up the road a hair bit. They got off in his town. She was pregnant. She was ready to go. And she got off and they couldn't find a place to sleep. And here was this hole in the rock. It was not a wooden structure. It was a hole in a rock. It was a cave. And he hauled her in there. And she had a baby. Just him and her. And she put him in torn up rags and put him in the manger. And we have diluted it down to forgetting about the most critical part. The journey. The 120 miles that they walked so that Jesus Christ would fulfill prophecy, be born where he was supposed to be born, Become the King of the world, the Savior of all times, and give us that belief and place to be saved in. That's what they had to do. 120 miles, you can say amen right there.
Amen.
Don't forget this. Now let's get a few things cleared up. Let's get a real clear image of Jesus Christ and who He is at this point. To start with, 9 months previous, give or take, maybe 10, God doesn't really see time the way we do. But a few months previous, Jesus sits in heaven. We all know where heaven is, right? Say amen. Put your hands up. Streets of gold, crystal sea, big pearly gates, all that wonderful stuff. Woo! Angels singing all day long. A table that stretches from here to forever with fried chicken in abundance.
Yes.
And biscuits.
Bluegrass.
And bluegrass.
Just love
you know, I love that song that Hank Williams sang, that I just want to build me a cabin in the shade of the tree in Glory Land, just so I can point to people along the way. That's our picture of heaven. Up on a throne, and in love, the angels up there flowering around His feet. We love You, Jesus. We're here. We know. And since the beginning of time, since man drew breath from dust, it has been this moment coming to where God said, I got to do something. And Jesus said, I will go. I will go. And He stepped out of His heavenly realm and became a dot. He became a split egg. He became an embryo in the womb of Mary. Do you ever think about it from that point? No, you gloss over it. He had to go into the beginnings as man was. He had to be born of what? A woman. He had to suffer childbirth. Jesus gave up heaven and became a brand new life in Mary. And was born into poverty. Was born poorly. Was born at the lowest point. But there's so much more to it than just that. There is not a simple journey. It would have taken them probably 6 days to travel that distance. 6 days. A few years ago, I lost my mind in November, and I came up with this great plan. I said, I love my family. My boys were young 3 or 4 years ago. Down in Florida is this magical world called Legoland. Hey, let's take a trip down to Legoland. We can afford to do it. We can do this thing. And hey, here comes the stupid part. You ready? Let's drive. Let's load the boys in the car. Let's pile in the car. I'll do the driving. We're going to drive straight down to Tampa, Florida. And so we got in the car and we drove. I'm here to tell you right now, I will never do that again. They make airplanes that leave Hagerstown and land in Tampa in 1 hour and 45 minutes. And we drove. And we drove down to Tampa. And we had to stop once every hour for something. Need to get out of the car. I didn't need to get out of the car. I wanted to go. And then we'd get out of the car and it wouldn't get back in. Or they wanted to unpack the trunk looking for a toy. What? And we did this, and we drove round the clock straight through, not stopping at a hotel anywhere, straight through. And we left Baltimore at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on some day during the week. I don't know what it was. And arrived at Tampa at 5 o'clock the next day in the morning. We drove through the night. Yes, I am dumb. And that's okay. Learned my lesson on the way back. Oh, we found a hotel. Oh, we did. We took a little break coming back. But we drove straight down. I cannot begin to imagine 6 days walking over hard terrain, going through what they had to go through. People, let me tell you something. It was not a walk in the park. It was nasty, it was cruddy terrain. It was crafted in such a way that their feet would hurt after several hours. There was robbers and hostiles, and it was cold, And at some points along the way, there would have been snow. And she was pregnant, on the verge of delivery. I have been around pregnant women. Most recently, about 14 years ago, I was around a pregnant woman. They had two of them in there. And A, it couldn't get cool enough, and then it couldn't get hot enough. And everything I did was wrong. And I mean everything. If I slammed the door, I slammed the door. If I didn't slam the door, she was sure that the door wasn't latched. And they go down this trip for the next 6 days. There are no bathrooms. There are no facilities. There are no roadside maps. There are no places to stop and pull in. And they have to take everything and cook their own food and take care of themselves on the road. Understand, people, this was a dirty, nasty, long walk back to his home place. 6 days. I want you to stop for a moment and put this image in your head. Imagine you're the husband, men, and your wife is your wife, men, and she's pregnant, and she's riding on a donkey for 6 days without a cell phone, without makeup, without any way to do anything. Women, I want you to imagine that you're pregnant and that your husband has to lead you and you're sure he's lost. It's an old joke. But when I think of that travel while she was pregnant to deliver our Savior, I am struck by the glory that is God Almighty and His plan. I am taken back to a trip so far ago that it cannot be described in my mind sometimes. Martin Luther said that the mystery of the humanity of Christ is such that He sunk Himself into our flesh is beyond all human understanding. He decided to live like we did. And so we go back to the Scripture for a moment. Let me read you these words from Matthew. Because this is a clear fulfillment. Matthew chapter 1, starting in the 12th verse. Don't try to follow along. After the exile to Babylon, Jehoiakim was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel was the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the father of Abiud. Abiud was the father of Eliakim. Eliakim was the father of Azor. Azor was the father of Zadok. Zadok the father of Achim. Achim was the father of Eliud. Eliud, the father of Eleazar. Eleazar, the father of Mathan. Mathan, the father of Jacob. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is to be called Christ. He had to go home to his people first in his town. And there, the miracle. We look at that scripture again. Go back to that for a moment. Those seven verses. Luke, the writer, writing for his uncle Theophilus, puts a few short words together there. He just simply says, "And so Joseph went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloths, placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." I grew up on dairy farm. Loved dairy farming. Didn't realize how much I loved dairy farming till I grew up and told my grandfather I didn't want to be no dumb dairy farmer anymore. I wanted to experience the world. It was so much of a better world. I couldn't wait to get out there. I got out there in the world, and do you know what, to this day? I wish I was a dairy farmer. Now, on occasion, more than once, quite a few times, very often actually, I was sent out to haul hay to the mangers for the heifers and the dry cows. And on occasion, a few times, quite often, I would lay down in the hay rack. We called them hay racks, but they were mangers. Where after I got done spreading out and busting out the hay, I would lay down in there and take a little break where my grandfather couldn't find me, so I didn't have to go and do something else right away. But do you know what found me in the manger? Them big cows. Them cows thought I was a salt block. And they would stick their head through there and tear me up. And I would get up and come to my grandfather with my hair sticking up like that, and he would say, "Sleep in the manger again, weren't you?" No, I wasn't asleep. I would have been if them dumb cows hadn't been there. It smells in the manger. It stinks. Well, not to me. It's a beautiful smell. I think it should be a perfume. And there's...
Oh, my Lord.
All right, farmers, put your hands up. Jill, I love you. You're with me. The rest of them just don't know. You know. I love that smell. The smell of cow, hay, old wood, and the other stuff. And that's where Jesus was born. After 6 miserable days, Jesus was born by himself in a cave and placed into the stall where the animals ate from. Helpless. Helpless. Do you understand that? He was a baby. We just got a new puppy. And that puppy is not helpless. That puppy's got us trained 2 weeks into the game. He knows how to make us give him treats. He knows how to get away. John, you know what I'm talking about because I see how your dog is. We have to carry that dog everywhere. A dog that is going to be this big, we're right now, we have to carry him everywhere. That dog is not helpless. I do not carry the dog. I do not give him special attention. I play with the dog like a dog's supposed to be. Although the other night, while I was in bed, he crawled up and he licked my face. And he put his little paw on my face, and his little paw was ice cold. So I picked him up and stuck him under the covers with me. Because I'm an idiot too. But Jesus was a baby. You remember what it was like when your baby laid there right after the baby was born in your arms. We had 2 of them. And I would lay there and go, "What?" And all they did was just nothing. And he was helpless. He was brought into the world. The greatest king that had been seen to that point and is going to be seen again was brought into the world helpless, alone, in poverty, in a manger after 6 days' journey of 120 miles. And people say it didn't happen. I say it's a miracle. The other side of that is, after a period of time, we read in Luke chapter 2, verse 39, when Mary and Joseph had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. Another 6, maybe 7 days going back. Now she has to nurse. Now she has to care. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, came to earth in this manner. You should be smiling right at this moment when you think about how much he cared for us. I want to read you these words. I'm not going to tell you who they're by until the end. Because once I tell you who they're by, get your tissues. Because you're all going to be going... Meaning no disrespect. I'm going to read it word for word. Meaning no disrespect to the religious conviction of others. I still can't help wondering how we can explain away what to me is the greatest miracle of all, and which is recorded in history. No one denies there was such a man, that he lived and that he was put to death by crucifixion. Where is the miracle I spoke of? Well, consider this and let your imagination translate the story into our own time, possibly your own hometown. A young man whose father is a carpenter grows up working in his father's shop. One day he puts down his tools and walks out of his father's shop. He starts preaching on street corners, And then in the nearby countryside, walking from place to place, preaching all the while, even though he is not an ordained minister. He does this for 3 years, then he is arrested, tried, and convicted. There is no court of appeal. He is to be executed at age 33 along with two common thieves. Those in charge of his execution roll the dice to see who gets his clothing, the only possession he has. His family cannot afford a burial place for him, so he is interred in a borrowed tomb. End of story? No. This uneducated, propertyless young man, who left no written word, has for 2,000 years had a greater effect on the world than all the rulers, kings, emperors, all the conquerors, generals, and admirals, all the scholars, scientists, and philosophers who have ever lived, all of them put together. And how do we explain that? Unless he really was who he said he was. Jesus Christ came to die for our sins, born of the Virgin Mary, grew in wisdom and strength, prophesied, talked of his Father, gave us to heaven, gave the only words we need to know. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. And for those words, he was executed. Died. 3 days later, walked out of the grave. And secured our place in heaven forevermore. Oh, the words. Ronald Reagan. Brothers and sisters, I come to you today that as we get underway for this season, that we really stop for a moment and we remind ourselves. I have said this before, but right here, right now, after a 120-mile journey, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, he would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior. Let's go north, south, east, west from Hagerstown. You ready? Hagerstown, State College, Pennsylvania, 116 miles. Hagerstown to Morgantown, West Virginia, 140 miles. Hagerstown to Fredericksburg, Virginia, 118 miles. Hagerstown to Reading, Pennsylvania, 130 miles. Swirl that around in your head for a moment. Who in this room is ready to walk to Reading, Pennsylvania?
Not me.
Awful lot of hands didn't go up. Who in this room is ready to walk down to Fredericksburg, Virginia? Make sure that's back here. Who wants to walk all the way out to Morgantown, West Virginia? Across the mountains, in the snow. Who wants to walk all the way up to State College? I didn't say drive to go see the football game, Lynn. I said walk. And yet, some 2,000 years ago, Joseph, Mary, walked 120 miles to bring forth the Savior. 120. Roll that number through your head. For the rest of this season, every time you look at the manger scene, every time you look down and you see the baby Jesus laid out there, every time you see that, put it in your head. 6 days, 120 miles to save the world with Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. 120 miles. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the glory that is the miracle of Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can talk about this. And don't let us forget for one moment Don't gloss over it. Don't let it get beside of us. Don't let us stop thinking about it for one moment. What they endured to bring to life the Savior of the world. It'll help make a Merry Christmas more merry for us. It'll help make a Merry Christmas more pleasing on our lips. It'll help make us speak the gospel more fully. Father, we thank you for Jesus. And for 120 miles, the Savior that would be born to save us for all eternity. Pray, Father, that we don't forget that going into this Christmas season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.